Certainly is good to see everyone today. It's good to be with you. Obviously, things are a little different this week. Can you hear me now? If this is a benefit to you, I'm glad of that. If it's annoying to you, I'm kind of glad of that too. I hope that this will be a great benefit for those who sometimes have trouble hearing. My voice does not carry like others. I don't have that great voice of an orator, I guess. But hopefully this will be a benefit. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the opportunities that we have to kind of reach and to make new, to kind of chart some new territory here. So hopefully it'll be good for everyone. We invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we will continue our series of lessons on the fruits of the Spirit. We will talk about the subject of kindness tonight, so I hope that you can be here tonight for that. This past week, I helped referee one of our soccer games. I'm over the refs in our little soccer league there in Chester County. And we didn't have enough refs for a weekly game, so I got the opportunity to help. Trenton and I refed a girls' soccer game, 6 and 7 year olds. And one of the rules before you start a game is that shin guards, and you got to wear your shin guards. You don't have your shin guards, that gets pretty painful. But your shin guards have to be covered by your socks. They can't be exposed. They have some sharp edges, and it could hurt. Well, one little girl didn't have hers covered, and so, you know me. Sometimes I'm sarcastic. Sometimes I might, you know, try to be funny, and it's not really funny at all. So I went up to her, and I said, "Now, you didn't bring your socks this time." I said, "Don't come back next time unless you bring your socks." Well, she didn't take it very funny. She went and told her mama. And her mama came to me during one of the breaks and said, "I'm sorry. We had them in the car. I went and put them on. But boy, she really gets upset when you say stuff to her." So at halftime, I went to her and I was like, "Okay." I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to be funny. Because can we be friends? And she gave me the whatever look. So it fits pretty good with what I was planning on talking about today, which was what I was going to talk about last week. And that's the subject of second chances. And so it's kind of ironic that that's what I was going to preach on last week, because this is my second chance to try to preach this sermon. So we're going to give that a shot today. And it was a good illustration this week of trying to get a second chance to make a good impression. You know, there's probably been a time in all our lives where we needed a second chance, or we would have liked to have had a second chance. You know, maybe you get pulled over by the cop and he wants to write a ticket. You know, we usually won't give me another chance. Or maybe you forget to turn in a homework assignment and maybe you need another chance at that. We like second chances whether they're needed or not, right? We like the opportunity to have a second chance. They always feel good. In the Bible, there's a great illustration of a second chance. Open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. It's an interesting placement in the New Testament. Now we know God in the Old Testament threw some curveballs at us from time to time. You've got certain little books in there like the story of Ruth and the story of Esther that find their way in the middle of the story of the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, you get this one letter that's very unique. And the reason it's unique is because this is a personal letter from one person to another. And that's not your norm. Usually in the epistles, when we have letters, what do we have? We have letters from Paul to the churches. And those letters would be passed around. This letter is an individual letter written to an individual person. The story of the book of Philemon is summed up beginning in verse 8. Verse 8, accordingly, he says, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. What's Paul writing about? He's writing a personal letter to a man named Philemon, someone that he had come in contact with, someone that through his missionary journeys had become a Christian. He's writing to Philemon about someone else who Paul also came in contact with that became a Christian. And so both men came to know Paul for the same reason. Both men owe Paul because Paul taught them the gospel. Now, who is Onesimus? The purpose of the letter and the man who brought the letter is Onesimus. What we know about him was that he was a slave of Philemon. He belonged to Philemon. And at some point, Onesimus decided that he would run away. He decided that he didn't want to be a slave anymore. And so he ran off. He ran to Rome, where he came in contact with Paul and came in contact with the gospel. And then Paul had a dilemma. Paul got to know Onesimus. Paul got to know his story. Paul knew Philemon. So what does Paul do? Notice how he began that. Verse 8, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. Paul was doing the right and lawful thing by sending Onesimus back. He's doing the right thing. It's the lawful thing. Onesimus is a runaway slave. Paul knows this, and Paul knows to whom he ran away from, and so he knows something needs to happen. And so he sends Onesimus back with this letter. And basically the letter says, I just want to let you know things have changed. Things have changed. Onesimus, even though caused you great harm, he said there, verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Referencing what we know to be the problem. Referencing what we know about Onesimus. He made mistakes. He needs a second chance. But more than just needing a second chance, he needs to be understood and accepted as a brother in Christ. You see, this second chance is a little different. He went from runaway slave to brother. Verse 12, he says, I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. How does Paul want Onesimus to be received by Philemon? It would have been the logical, common reaction for Philemon to demand that the law be fulfilled, that restitution be made, or that Onesimus be punished to the full extent of the law. And he would have had a right to demand such a thing. But Paul says, perhaps That's why he left. Perhaps that's why he was parted from you for a while, so that not only can you accept him back, but accept him back as much more than a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And that is much better. Paul says, give him a second chance. Give him a second chance. And Paul's appealing to Philemon's understanding that Christ gives us all a second chance with his death on the cross. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul is even willing to pay the debt that may be owed because of Onesimus' absence, to see reconciliation, to see the second chance that he needs. As we think about second chances, we think about some famous second chances in Scripture. Think of the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah, very well known for his desire to avoid doing what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to share the message of God. He ran, and he was swallowed by that great fish. And while living inside this great fish, he appealed to God for that second chance. And given that second chance, he went and did what God asked. We also think of the story of Zacchaeus. The story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke chapter 19. And it's an interesting story. As we see in Luke chapter 19, Jesus was passing through Jericho. It says, verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When he saw that it, when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold. Zacchaeus needed a second chance. He needed to understand who Jesus was. Obviously, he had some feelings of guilt. He had some feelings of sorrow. He had some feelings that he needed Jesus and needed to meet Jesus. And Jesus chose him. Of all the people there that day, Jesus chose Zacchaeus. We know that others felt like he didn't need a second chance, didn't deserve any chance, didn't deserve the Lord, because they said, why did Jesus go eat with him? But notice the impact that Jesus had. Zacchaeus became a changed man. God gave him a second chance, and he made the most of it. The prodigal son, the story that we've read all week in our devotionals. The prodigal son needed a second chance. The reason that parable has meant so much is it's really the story of us all at some point. At some point, we all wander away from God. And as in the story that Jesus tells, the prodigal thought he knew it all. He was rebellious and he was arrogant. But he returned home broken, wanting to just be a servant, but was received home as a son. How does Jesus receive us? How does God receive us when we come back? God gives us second chances, much like the prodigal son. And then in Luke chapter 23, as Jesus is on the cross, as the crowd calls out to him and laughs at him and makes fun of him as he hangs on that cross between two criminals. Both criminals, at some point, revile him, talk down to him, call him out, just like the crowd was doing. Somewhere during that process, one of those criminals, one of those thieves, changed his mind. After watching Jesus and his reaction on the cross, one of the thieves decided, there's something different here. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 39, it says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here's a man who's clearly guilty. There's no question. There's no question about the guilt of the thief. Both thieves were guilty. He even admits his guilt. As one thief continues to call on Jesus to save all of them, if you're the Christ, why can't you do something? The other thief says, you know what? We're here because we deserve it. We're here because we're thieves. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he appeals to Jesus for another chance. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus does just that. As he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Second chances. We like second chances. Thankfully, with God, we have more than two, right? It's not just second chances, it's multiple chances. He never gives up on us. He never gives in. Second chances are for us as much as what we've read today. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Even when you were dead, he says, in your trespasses, in those sins, God, through Jesus, was offering second chances. Jesus gave his life. Jesus became those sins, those trespasses, those transgressions, those mistakes, those things we do that we know break God's heart. Jesus became those things so that we could have another chance to be reconciled to God. Another opportunity. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. What does that say? It tells us that God wants to extend another chance. we've all been in a situation where we wanted another chance and didn't get one, probably. You know, there have been a couple speeding tickets I'd like to not have gotten, but not so. There's been things that we wish we could do over, do again, or have another chance at, but we just don't. But you know what? God is standing there. Just like in the story of the prodigal son, God is standing by the road, wanting to welcome us back, not as a servant, but as a child. He's wanting to extend that second chance. It's what Paul appealed to Philemon for. Give him a chance. All the stories, the examples that we looked at today, give him a chance. God is giving us chances. The question is, will we be like the prodigal if we need to and come to our senses and return to Him? He never gives up on us. There have been those who have left Christianity because they felt like God would not forgive them, or they felt like God would not give them another chance, or they felt like they couldn't be forgiven. They couldn't be any further from the truth. God is there with His arms outstretched, wanting to welcome us back if we will come back to Him. He is a God of second chances, and third, and fourth, fifth, multiple. He never gives up on us. May we never give up on ourselves. May we always look for those opportunities to extend second chances to others. And if we need to make things right with God, may we do so. Today is an opportunity. Today is a moment where we can take advantage of the second chances that God extends. Maybe you're here this morning and there's something in your life that you need to get rid of. There's something in your life that needs to change. There's something that needs to be different. Take advantage of the opportunity that today brings to decide, I'm going to be different. Maybe there's something you need the prayers of the church for. And we're here to pray with you and for you and to help you on that journey. Maybe today you want to become a Christian. Maybe you've heard the word, believe it, want to repent of your sins and confess that He is the Son of God and be buried with Him in baptism and become one of His, taking advantage of the chances that he has extended towards us. God is a God of second chances. If you need one today, won't you come as we stand and sing?